Thou art the shepherd, Lord, we are the sheep. One of our favorite hymns, we sing that every first Friday after exposition. If you think of it, the sheep is a perfect metaphor for any member of the Holy Catholic Church. The very word evokes love and certainly trust and a sweet innocence, self-sacrifice too, extraordinary vulnerability, as well as a certain tendency to self-destruction. Indeed, the more we urban dwellers know about sheep, the more we can see ourselves in one of those little white woolly creatures. Take sickness, say, or danger. Sheep have many ways of getting themselves into trouble. They are susceptible to braxy, pulpy kidney, stagers, pneumonia, pastorella, twin lamb disease, and cancer. They suffer from hypothermia in the winter and maggots in the summer, as well as scab, scrappy, and of course foxes, crows, and dogs. They get themselves into the most amazing predicaments. Of the sheep, it is originally true that the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence, and sometimes he gets his head caught in the fence trying to get it. Or he attempts to climb up a tree looking for some foliage and then gets caught in his rams or his horns or else by his legs and he's left dangling there. Sometimes sheep fall down banks. They get bitten by snakes and stung by wasps. They tumble into ponds and streams. They gorge themselves on fallen ash leaves. And then they roll on their backs and they blow up like balloons. They poison themselves on ragwort. And ram's horns regularly are ingrown, which is, for a sheep, a lethal condition. Finally, sheep starve. Sometimes they freeze. They get depressed, and they fall ill. They are the sheep. But a good shepherd can counter every affliction, and he knows how to heal each one of them. Now, today's is a healing mass, which is very appropriate for Good Shepherd Sunday. The first collect shows us the source of our salus, our salvation, both of body and of soul. You and I can get up and walk because our Lord laid down his life for us. O God, who by the humility of thy Son hast raised up a fallen world. His stripes, the lash of the scourge, all of his wounds are our healing. The Church loves to sing this at Lent, at Tenebrae. Cuius livore sanati estis, we repeat, as does St. Paul, quoting Isaiah in today's epistle, by whose stripes you are healed. Now, the gospel takes place right after one of the great Lenten healing gospels of the man born blind. Our Lord has just been telling the Pharisees, in effect, there are none so blind as those who will not see. Blinded by their own pride, your sin remains, our Lord says to them. There's no healing for them. But there's a healing for you, for the sheep of the fold, if only you will listen to the teaching of the shepherd, your shepherd, the priest, the bishop, of your souls, will preserve you in health and in safety. How? Principally by teaching the Word of God. When it comes to any sickness of soul, whether it be garden variety of sin, some human weakness, some new doctrine, some awful temptation to go along, to get along, God's Word, St. John Chrysostom says, is the medicine. It's our change of air. It's our improvement of diet. It is the very best instrument to take hold of us and to heal us. But you have to turn in the direction of the shepherd's voice to recognize it. This is the secret of any priest's success, whether it be some great saint who's healing bodies and souls, Padre Pio, or yesterday's saint, Vincent Ferrer. He worked so many miracles that he actually had what was called a miracle bell. And when the people heard it ring, they knew they could come and receive healing every day for whatever kind of problem was theirs. At the same time, there are other quieter healings of the heart, something spiritual, the saving of souls done secretly in the shadows of the confessional, in a visit to the Blessed Sacrament, or publicly in some sermon preached aloud, and often the priest doesn't know what he has done. But as our Lord said of the hemorrhaging woman, I felt a power go forth from me. Every healing, this salus we speak of, whether it be some dramatic touch of a saint and you're healed, or whether it be just the traditional application of the truth of our holy faith, all of this has one secret to its success. The Good Shepherd, our Blessed Savior, Him crucified and risen again. Jesus Christ heals you, St. Peter tells Aeneas in the Acts of the Apostles, and it is always so. The shepherd, though, must first be a sheep. He must first hear His voice so as to make only His voice heard. And the sheep? Why, you can be shepherds too, if only you as well will hear His voice. How do you do that? Why, by prayer. What do we do in prayer? We praise our Lord certainly, as at a magnificent high mass. We petition. We ask for our needs. We ask pardon too, and if we remember it, we say thank you. But most of all, when we pray, we listen to our Lord's voice, the kind of prayer of meditation. Its best example for us is the rosary, and that is why proceeding with prayer with deliberate distractions is deadly. It doesn't make any sense. You're talking to someone, but you're not really listening to His voice. My sheep hear My voice. Remember, in ancient times, the sheep knew the shepherd's voice because he spent all day with them. And a sheep could distinguish the voice of the shepherd from anyone else's voice. That's a wonderful quality, and we sheep in modern times need that. I remember asking dear Rita Brueggemann on the day of the dedication of our new church what she thought of it. And I was surprised by her response. She said, all this noise. And what she meant, of course, is that for anyone who is hard of hearing, the extreme acoustic in the church, the echo, which makes the music so glorious, makes it difficult to follow the spoken word, especially a sermon. Now, we've tried to correct that by these new speakers, but still some of you, I think, have to position yourselves in a certain place, or else it's just a jumble of voices. You can't distinguish words. So it is for daily life. We have to position ourselves properly, or else it is just noise. So many voices that beckon. There is the work week waiting tomorrow and family always, and your duties to church, you're conscious of that. Responsibilities here and there, good to do and prayers to be said, and temptations. Temptations to power as well as those petty little temptations to pleasure, little things and big too, but so many voices. They can distract us from the one voice we can never afford to ignore, our Lord's. Unless we hear it, we could never help anyone else. We ourselves would be lost, confused by competing voices. And this experience leaves us sort of frazzled, leaves us tired. It makes us to be unproductive in doing our daily duty. But our Lord calls you by name. He wants to heal you, to strengthen you against temptation's call, wandering sheep that you are. And that is why we do have sermons and meditation, spiritual reading, correction, admonition. That is why we have the rosary or the prayer chain. That is why we pray novenas and all of the rest, so that we can hear his voice and help others to as well. Will they work, all of these prayers? Will some miracle be given to you today, great or small? Will you get even an answer from our Lord? This is often more God's business than our own. He has his reasons, and he, the shepherd, knows best his remedies. But we do know that he is listening. He is listening, and that is everything. Are we? My sheep hear my voice. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.